On the last episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast, we started out with a listener warning because of the contents of some of the songs we played. And this week, we're starting out with a listener warning that Tony is in a grumpy mood.
Yeah, it's one of those days when you don't want to wake up and everything just sucks. Paul, do you know what song I'm talking about right now?
I don't know what song that is.
Limp Bizkit, Break Stuff, which is a very un-Tony song. Like, I don't like to break everything. I want everything to be in perfect condition
right.
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those days where, as stated, that I don't feel in control of my time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of some meh weather.
Yep.
It's pretty soupy out.
Yep.
I'm also very grumpy about being grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
I've got meta grumpiness.
Yeah.
So, Paul, all I can say is I hope you got some music to cheer me up. Some new great DC music.
That's what we're here for, man. You know, one of my favorite people who has written a lot of very feel-good, cheery songs is our dear friend Olivia Mancini.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This is a song called Be Where You Are.
I like the message already.
Yep.
Here on Hometown Sounds.
Welcome back to the Hometown Sounds podcast, where we show you
how DC grumps.
We are doing that today. I'm Paul Vodra.
I'm Tony Parecco.
And that was Olivia Mancini with a song called Be Where You Are. It is the unreleased version that comes from a new compilation album called If We Knew Then, which is a retrospective of the best songs by Olivia from 2007 to 2016, from the earliest days of the Housemates through the Astrovia years to Olivia and the Mates, plus some unreleased bonus tracks, including this one. It is a redo of Be Where You Are, which is one of my fave sing-along songs by Olivia that originally appeared on Fully Adieu, the 2012 debut EP by Astrovia, which is Olivia's duo with Jarrett Nicolai. And the notes from the song, the original song, say that it was inspired by something Ian MacKaye said on stage during an Evans show at Fort Reno. Musically, we agreed that little of Ian's influence is felt on this track, but he says it's an okay song anyway. I think it's a lot more than an okay song. I love that song. Your next chance to see Olivia Mancini live is on Sunday, June 10th at the Black Cat, with Heather May and Chris Matthews. And I will say that I recently saw Olivia and the Mates play at the Black Hat backstage for the Pyramid Scheme EP release show. And we have hosted Olivia and the Mates on the Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage. I believe that was Easter Sunday, 2017. And Olivia famously wore a pink suit that was really fun. And at the Millennium Stage, she sounded very like crisp and clean and delightful. And at the Black Hat Stage, she sounded, it was loud. It was like kind of turned up and fuzzy and whatnot, which is very similar to that version of Be Where You Are if you compare it to the original Astrovia version. So I think she's going through a little, you know, fuzzed out phase, which is really fun, you know, changing it up. It's great.
It's great for a grump like me.
Exactly.
So, Paul, all right, let me tell you about something I'm grumpy about.
All right, do it.
I went to a show last night. And what I'm grumpy about is I don't know how anyone's supposed to act at shows anymore.
Oh.
I went to go see Frankie Kosmos at the Black Cat.
Sounds great.
It was great.
Right on.
The band was wonderful. Are you familiar with Frankie Kosmos?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so the lead lady singer-songwriter, her name is Greta Klein, and she is the daughter of a one Kevin Klein.
Yes. Some people think I look like Kevin Klein.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm like, maybe. I've gotten that some. I've gotten, you know, not to say that it's anything to do with Frankie Kosmos.
That's okay.
There you go.
Fun pseudo fact.
Yep.
Yeah. So we got there and one of the openers for Frankie Kosmos played very soft bedroom pop. And no, I mean, it was very, very nice. But yeah. The crowd was talking like, whoa.
Yeah. It's Saturday night at the Black Hat main stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is Frankie Kosmos's music isn't terribly loud to begin with. It's also sort of in this soft bedroom indie pop manner.
Yep.
And I was just kind of thinking about how are you supposed to comport yourself? And I feel like there's an age in which you sort of, if you like music, you mm-hmm. go to a show and you're just into the music.
Yeah.
If you're younger, which is the best explanation that I could come up with, which was like just these were, oh my God, these, you know, you were getting into the, oh my God, you babies, you 20 year old babies. We're just like just yakking it up.
Yeah.
But then I think about myself and I think about this time I went to see Andrew Bird at 9:30 Club and I was singing along with every song and this guy in front of me was really grumpy about it. And yeah. He said, I came here to see the music, not to hear you sing. But like, that's my bliss. Yeah. I'm supposed to follow my bliss.
Right.
But all these kids last night, like they just wanted to chat. Like, yeah. Isn't that their bliss? Mm. So what's anyone supposed to do?
Yeah.
So I mean, is it all the above? None of the above? I'm just puzzled about like how you are supposed to comport yourself in a manner that really just makes me feel like it's every man for themselves.
I know. It's going to change all the time. I feel like singing along. I feel like you're supposed to sing along at a show. You're supposed to sing along. You know, having really loud conversations about something that has nothing to do with the show, that I think is not really what people should be doing at a show. So I think that that other guy was wrong, and I think you should sing your heart out. Because that's, you know, you're supposed to go to the show and just have an emotional outpouring from the music that you paid money and devoted a whole evening of your life to go and experience, perform live, like experience it fully. That's what I think.
I hear you. I'm stuck in this world of etiquette relativism where I don't know what is what and what is okay and what is not.
Have you been to see a show at the Hamilton?
I've not.
I went to see a show there recently, the Bumper Jacksons.
Cool.
And the Hamilton is one of these venues that's a little bit like the Birchmere, where they sit you down and they really don't want you to talk. And they even say that in a pre-show announcement. Like, we know you're going to want to talk, but don't do it. And there's one part of the Hamilton that's kind of up these stairs. It's sort of a little like crow's nest area. They have a bar up there. And sometimes the tables in the main area don't provide a very good view of the stage. So for the first time, I tried to see the show from this little upstairs part to see how it would feel from being up there. And the view was fantastic. Saw the stage, wasn't too far away. It was really great. But I felt like the people that were up there felt like, we're up these stairs behind everybody. We can just talk. And there was a lot of talking during the show, and I didn't really care for that. So, but I almost feel like that's the designated area for that to happen. And there's not police at these shows. And you don't want to be rude. You don't want to make a statement. You don't want to tap people on the shoulder and be like, hey, can you quiet it down? Because it just gives everybody the bad feels. But I don't know. It's hard to deal with.
So let's keep the musical grumps grumping. is this joke getting old?
Nope,
is
not
this
getting
joke
old.
Getting you grumpy?
Keep it rolling, man.
Okay.
This is a new song from Governess.
That's new music from Governess with a track called Space Garbage, a grumpy song title if I've ever heard one, whether it's referring to satellite debris that's orbiting the Earth or a very existential viewpoint on what everything is. It's the advanced single from Zero, the second album by Governess that's out on May 18th on Sister Polygon Records.
Which is the record label of Priests, in case you don't happen to know that.
We last featured Governess on the podcast in late 2016 with a song called Severance from their self-titled debut release, and I was at their album release show. They all wore togas.
Yeah.
Because why not? Also, we are recording this track on Mother's Day, and it's worth noting that all three members of Governess are moms, and that's sort of how they met. They all live in the same neighborhood, and just through mom and stuff, they were like, hey, let's start a band, and that's pretty cool.
Love that.
Yeah. I will say that, okay, something that makes me grumpy, there's a feature on Governess's new album, and the title in the City Paper article, it reads, on their new album, Governess delivers the matriarchy, semicolon, eats placenta,
And I read this article start to finish, and there was no mention of placenta. I did a control F, and no, it's freaking clickbait, and that makes me grumpy. Yeah, sure, freedom of the press, but no, nothing about it. So if something got like tossed on the cutting room floor, but mostly just grumpy.
There you go. I do dig that particular song, how that bass line sort of starts out with a classic doo-wop feel, and you're not quite sure where the song's going to go. And then you get the chanty vocals and the spooky guitar kicking in and taking it to a different place.
They're a very spooky band, and I do like that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
They do the mash. So as stated, we are recording this week's podcast on Mother's Day, kind of banking one. And I had sort of a grumpy Mother's Day. So, okay, I had a cute little Mother's Day gathering at a very nice apartment building's game room. And all right, the catering truck was in a car accident.
That's crazy.
And the food got all tossed out.
Oh, my God.
There was a Ms. Pac-Man machine that the joystick didn't work. I thought, oh, I'm going to sit down and play some Ms. Pac-Man. And I just got eaten by ghosts immediately.
That is cruel to leave an arcade machine like that in service, accepting quarters and ruining
the hearts. It was all free play.
Okay.
Which was fine.
Well, still.
But actually, that brings me to my next point. There were a pair of pinball machines, and pinball is a game that makes me grumpy.
What? Pinball is so much fun.
Are you kidding me? You lose so quickly and through generally no fault of your own, regardless of skill level.
Okay.
And it takes so long to get your next ball up. Then you got to make the decision about whether you're going to do a real hard hit to get things rolling.
Yep.
Or if you're going to play the trick shot and hit that little trap door.
Right. It's complicated.
It's really complicated. And by the way, there are all these little narratives within the pinball game.
Yes.
I was playing a Ghostbusters pinball machine.
Sure.
I had no idea what was going on. This stuff used to amaze me when I was a kid.
Yes.
Now it's a button mash.
Yeah.
And oh my God. So, but some other fun facts from playing the Ghostbusters pinball machine. High score number 2 was from a player named Ass.
Yes, of course.
Of
yes.
course.
I knew it was going to be Ass.
There was a recommendation from the pinball machine to participate in local tournaments.
Yes.
Exclamation point.
Right. That's a thing.
Are you kidding me?
No, at Black Cat, they have pinball
tournaments. I did see that the other night,
there
actually.
You go. Yep.
All right. There was another pinball machine, and I didn't take in what it was at first. And there was a TV on, and there was some kind of bowling on the ESPNs or something.
Okay.
And the pinball machine was on, and I just thought, my back was to it. I didn't know what was going on. I just thought there was generic classic rock playing as soundtrack for this ESPN bowling channel.
Right.
And I just thought, man, I'm hearing a lot of Aerosmith today.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was not hearing musical programming from the ESPN. Mm-hmm. It was an Aerosmith Dude Looks Like a Lady pinball machine.
Yes.
So it just kept playing Dude Looks Like a Lady on repeat. Like a
lady. What a ridiculous 80s hard rock song.
Yeah. So, yeah, that made me a little grumpy that I heard that song just way too many times this Mother's Day.
I can understand that.
Yeah. But otherwise, the rescued food was really good.
Good.
Yeah. And now I'm hanging out with my boy.
There you go.
I want to give you a hug, but you're on the other side.
We got a lot of microphones between us.
Yeah. Actually, it's only 2. But
it's a decent amount.
Yeah. All right. So let's keep this show grumping.
Next up, new song from Drew Kidd.
Wherever you are is where I want to be. Where you come along, everything. You and I both know how cold the world can be, but it's always warm whenever I'm where you are. Trying to act like I ain't got no sign of time, or that it ain't far away from me to get wherever you are. If halfway you can meet. Should I put my trust in me or hold the line? You're all that I will see. Wherever you are is where I want to be. When you come along, everything ain't as a thing. You and I both know how cool the world can be, but it's always warm whenever I'm with you.
Song started out kind of soulful and romantic, and it got into this like jazz funk jam session that was really fun. Some good drum licks in there. That song was called Wherever You Are by Drew Kidd featuring Deborah Bond on vocals,
and nothing about it made me grumpy.
All right, well, you know, keep at it. We'll find some more songs for you to get grumpy to. The song comes from the debut full-length album by Drew Kidd called For You, For Me Too. You can buy it digitally on his Bandcamp page. Drew Kidd is a keys player that works with the DC hip hop community. He executive produced Dunk's 2017 solo album, Away Home, which we featured on the podcast. I'm not quite sure what executive producing an album means these days, because like when you executive produce a movie, that means you're just like signing off on it. You're giving it your little blessing and letting them put your name on it, but you didn't really work on the movie. So I bet that he did work on the album though. Who knows? He also appeared on a couple of songs from Cecily's recent album, Songs of Love and Freedom.
Who I've been seeing some wheat-pasted flyers for.
Yep. She's doing the Artist in Residence program at Strathmore. And Drew Kidd is also in the 2018 Artist in Residence program at Strathmore. It seems to be kind of a really cool deal for DC musicians. Previous artists in residence with them have included Y-Told and B. Steadwell.
Woot woot.
Yeah, and I know that B. Steadwell at her live show specifically called out that program for kind of giving her a big step forward in her musical career, which was really cool. There's a quote from Drew Kidd about this. He says, originally a small collection of love songs, this project grew into an exploration of self, written in the confines of my piano room at home, in school practice rooms, in New York rehearsal spaces, at my brother's dorm in Boston, on buses, on planes, walking around aimlessly in Paris, arriving to me in dreams and in the quiet moments of the morning. Encapsulated in this recording are internalized emotions and acknowledgement of the dissonances within, the yearning for love, wonder at the promise of new life, pain for lives lost to brutality and ignorance, the guilt of disconnect with my origins, my search for purpose and struggle to maintain conviction in a time of hopelessness and apathy, my crippling isolation, and my dreams for freedom in a new day.
Sing it, brother.
This is for all who understand. Also, I was digging around on social media and I discovered this little bit under the awards section on his Facebook page. He says, I played piano at Joe Biden's last Christmas party. We took a picture. If you have that picture, please send it to me.
So do we think Drew Kidd is a creepy time traveler?
Probably.
Do we think that he just meant like the Christmas party in 2017?
Probably that's it. Or who knows what year? Who knows how long that's been sitting on his Bandcamp page waiting for, or his Facebook page waiting for us to find. Hopefully somebody will upload it and some algorithm will be like, hey, that's Drew Kidd. Let's tag him. And then he'll be like, oh, look, there's that photo. We have more music for you on the podcast.
Oh, do we now?
Do you know who's up next, Tony?
I do. It's Box Era.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
That song was called Church Dog.
I have no idea what a church dog is. Do they even allow dogs in church?
I mean, they do have...
Blessings of the Animals?
Yes, exactly what I was going to say. Maybe that's what that is.
I kind of want to go to one of those just to see what kind of animals people bring.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we're talking about animals because my girlfriend sent me this photo of this enormous alligator that made its way onto a golf course.
I saw that.
With the flock of deer as well.
Just like not sure what to do about it.
Now, on the local newspaper's website, there was a tag for gators.
Yep.
And, you know, like filed under.
Yep.
There was another tag for filed under Gator Friday. So I guess that on Fridays they have gator content.
Yeah. Why not? Anyway, that song was by a College Park band called Box Era, and it comes from their debut EP, which is called Xanadu.
Xanadu was a 1980 romantic fantasy film, which I'm kind of upset that genre of film exists, starring Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. I feel like I've never seen this movie, but I feel like I know so much about this movie.
Samesies.
Yeah. So it was a box office flop. It earned mixed to negative critical reviews, but it was an inspiration for the Golden Raspberry Awards.
Are those the Razzies?
Yes, exactly. So this is the origin of the Razzies, that memorialized the worst films of the year. Despite the lackluster performance of the film, the soundtrack album became a huge commercial success around the world and was certified double platinum in the United States. The song Magic was a number one hit for Olivia Newton-John, disco queen.
You can also catch Box Era Saturday, June 2nd at Villain and Saint in Bethesda with Fuzz Bucket and Bauman Dynasty.
Solid. That's solid. I've not been to Villain and Saint yet.
It's nice.
Yeah.
They have that one of those screen setups where the band is projected onto a screen.
Yeah.
Which is, that's kind of neat.
That is good, you know, because I feel bad for the people that are short and can't see the actual stage. So I feel like giving them some other options is always a good idea.
You're a nice guy.
I am a nice guy. I feel bad for the short people. What are they going to do? Randy, they pay money.
Randy Newman had some very different words about the short people.
What did he say?
He said that they got no reason to live.
Oh, that's so sad.
You know that song, Short People?
I don't.
Oh, we're going to have a time.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, let's keep the show going.
Next up, we have Empresarios.
Gangsta, he gozado de placeres, carro cabrón, mi mujer es
New music from Empresarios. The track is Noche de Cambumbeo.
It is from an EP called Cambumbeo, which is out May 18th on their own label, Empresarios Musica. Empresarios is a Latin funk band. It's a hybrid kind of DC and Miami that they call Tropicaliente. It is led by conga player Javier Miranda. We last featured Empresarios on this podcast in a remix by Farid of their collaboration with Fort Knox 5 called Cinco to the Brinco back in 2016 and in 2015 with the title track from their last album, which was called The Vibes.
I like the fun play on Cinco to the Brinco.
Yeah, they are a really fun band. Great, great live stuff. Also like nothing else in DC right now. Which I love them kind of pushing the boundaries. Also, we were having a discussion while we were listening to the song of the name of the band.
Yes, when you're dealing with music and artists with origins of different cultures, different nationalities, you try to do your due diligence and look some things up. An empresario was a person who had been granted the right to settle on land in exchange for recruiting and taking responsibility for new settlers. It is also the Spanish word for entrepreneur.
And I always thought that it was kind of a reference to impresario, which is Italian for an enterprise or undertaking, and it is a person who organizes and often finances concerts, plays, or operas, performing a role similar to that of artist manager or a film or television producer.
I feel like each word and definition has some bearing on what this band does.
That is true. And that almost takes us to the end of this episode of the Hometown Sounds podcast. Almost, but not quite. So we have a little bit more for you. But in the meantime, you should follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hometown Sounds. We post some stuff there. You should check it out. Let's see. We have a website, hometownsoundsdc.com. We got a lot of great stuff there. Music videos, show recommendations, podcasts, announcements about Millennium Stage shows. It's great. You should definitely bookmark that, subscribe to it. We have an email address. It's dj@hometownsoundsdc.com.
Send us your tunes.
Yeah, we love getting recommendations and submissions. It's really great. But really the important thing is to support the musicians that you've heard on this podcast by buying their music
and seeing them play live.
Like I said, we got one more track for you on the podcast. We're going to get a little spacey and ambient and strange because that's what we like to do sometimes on the last track. This is a song by Ink Mink. The song is called Where Is the Body? It is from an album called How the Body is Seen by Ink Mink, which is the moniker of Columbia, Maryland experimental musician Kenneth Maslowski.
Those are two very different sentiments. Where is the body and how the body is seen? I mean, you have to answer the first question before you can address the second.
That is true. There are a lot of releases, a lot, on Ink Mink's Bandcamp page for you to dig into, but this is not one of them. How the Body is Seen has been released by a Florida label called Illuminated Paths. You can buy this on the Illuminated Paths Bandcamp page on digital or a very, very limited cassette release. And also, strangely enough, he has another moniker with its own Bandcamp page, and that is called Cyperissus. And I didn't even have a chance to see what that stuff is about, but there is a lot of output. You can really fill whatever device and computer you have with a lot of interesting stuff from this guy.
If it's a tape deck, it is one tape.
That's all you get.
Well, also, that's all the device can hold.
That's right. There you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.
We'll grump you next time.
Yeah. Great.